Tonight we have a message that I believe is from the throne of God, and the message title is Rising Above. Rising Above. How many of you like to rise above some things? I know I do. I've been practicing this a whole lot lately, and I'll tell you what, God is faithful. He helps us to rise above. But to rise above, you have to know some things. And one of the things that you have to know is that God wants you to rise above. Amen. You know, in Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 19, God says this, I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. You choose. You choose. And he wants you to choose something. He wants you to choose life. Amen. Life so that you can live and your seed. So you see, your choices don't affect just you. Your choices affect your whole household. And to rise above, we've got to know that God wants us to rise above and that he has ways for us to do just that. You know, we're heirs to the blessing, heirs to the Abraham's promises. Amen. And so in Deuteronomy chapter 28, it tells us a little bit about what those blessings are. Now, we don't have time to read all of those, but we're just going to look at two verses from Deuteronomy chapter 28. We're going to look, first of all, at verse 12. And it says this, the Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heavens to give rain unto the land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand. And thou shalt lend to many nations, and you shall not borrow. Now that sounds like a blessing. Is that right? And then verse 13 goes on to say this, and the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not beneath. If you will hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day, and observe to do them. Well, I'll tell you, I've been the head and I've been the tail. I've been above and I've been beneath. How many of you would agree with me that above is better? It is far better. And you know, about 5 years ago, I ministered a message called Above the Fray, Living Above the Fray. And God was just bringing some of those things back to me, some of those nuggets. I'm going to share a few of those and we're going to go on to talk about some other things. But one of the things I think is so important is to learn to live above the fray of life. And we're going to talk a little bit and define that in just a moment what that is. But you know, in the message, I talked about a flight that Pastor Brenda and I had taken. And on that flight, we experienced a lot of turbulence. And the turbulence was due to bad weather. Now, the definition of turbulence is this. The quality or state of being turbulent, such as a sudden, violent movement of air, a state of confusion or disorder. And I'll tell you, this makes for a rough ride when you're in a situation like that. And the cause of turbulence is this. In an aircraft, it could be weather. It could be air masses. It could be the wake of the aircraft itself or other aircraft that you encounter. Many different things cause turbulence. The effect of turbulence can cause an aircraft to shake and move suddenly and erratically from side to side or up and down. Have you ever experienced that? And I'll tell you, it creates distress. It's kind of frightening. It jolts you. It can create fear that the airplane is out of control and that you're about to crash. It's about to tear apart. Sometimes turbulence can get that intense that it does feel that way. During our flight, what happened is we began to experience strong turbulence, and the pilot did something. He began to climb and ascend to a higher altitude. And he began to fly above the storm. We're called to fly above the storms of life. Amen. And so as we began to climb to a higher altitude, there's something that I noticed. All of a sudden, I looked out the window, and I saw that we were in a different position, which gave me a different vantage point. So when you're flying through the storm, I mean, it can look pretty bad out there, especially if it's lightning and thunder. But if you rise above the storm, above the fray, you'll begin to see clear skies. You'll begin to see as God sees. You'll hardly even know that there's a storm there.
Right.
It can be there, but you'll be above it. Amen. And not beneath it. Amen?
Amen?
We've all had the storms of life. We've all been in the fray. And I want to give you a definition of the word fray. Fray means in Webster's to wear out or to shred, to fray, to separate the threads of the end of a cloth, to show signs of the effect of strain, such as a person's nerves or temper are frayed. A person who is edgy, overtaxed, tense, stressed, irritated. Have you been there? A spot that's tattered or ragged or unraveled at the edge through constant rubbing or friction. And so, if you've ever seen a rope that was frayed, a rope that is frayed has pieces hanging out. And what it does is it causes the rope to lose its strength. Now, that's happened sometimes to us, hasn't it? And we've got to do something about it. We can't just settle for a frayed life. We got to rise above the fray of life and above the storms of life. They come sometimes as sudden disruptions. Sometimes they're a crisis. Sometimes it's life taking us in a different direction, a direction we didn't plan, a direction we did not desire. Turbulence in life will do something. It will get our attention. Many times it'll produce fear. Fear of what? Fear of the unknown. What's going to happen now? I'll tell you what's going to happen now. But God. Amen?
Amen?
But God. Jesus himself told us that we would experience turbulence. He said in John 16:33 in the Amplified Classic, I have told you these things, that in me you may have perfect peace. And confidence. In the world, you'll have tribulation and trials, distress and frustration. But be of good cheer. Take courage. Be confident. Be certain. For I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of the power to harm you and have conquered it for you. We always need to endeavor again to live above the fray. In the midst of it, you have to remember, you have to remind yourself to take courage. It's yours for the taking. Jesus said so. He said to be confident, be of good courage. God's got you. He knows right where you're at. He's got your phone number. He knows how to redeem your life. Do you know how to redeem your life? No, but he does. So, rise above it. We've got to be the pilots of our own lives. And we have to decide that in the midst of a storm that we are going to maintain a good attitude so that we can rise above it. Now, your attitude is what you'll see through. It's your lens. It brings everything into focus or out of focus. If your attitude is godly, then you'll see as he sees. How does he see? He sees clearly. He sees correctly. I recently had allowed a bad attitude to enter into my heart and affect me. Yes, I did. Let's be honest. We have choices every day and sometimes moment to moment to maintain a good attitude, to have the mind of Christ, to let this attitude that was in Christ Jesus be in you and rule and reign. So many things pull on us and can pull us right out of a good attitude into a bad attitude, or right out of a positive attitude into a negative attitude. And recently, I was disappointed about something, and it was planted in my heart, this attitude that affected me regarding something that I expected but wasn't done. So I allowed the hurt of my heart to become a wound in my soul, which affected my attitude. You know, sometimes you might hear someone say, well, that hurt my feelings. Well, yeah, it hurt my feelings, but it hurt my heart. And there's a difference. Amen? So instead of dealing with it, I continued to think about it. And I continued to rehearse it. And, you know, at first I thought, well, I'm just not going to talk to that person. But a week later, I needed to talk to that person. So I had to call them up. I had another issue. And when I called them up, you see, I hadn't dealt with it. And here's a good rule. Sometimes you've got to deal with some things before you talk to the person. When you have conflict with somebody, you've got to be able to process your emotions about it. You've got to be able to talk about it with someone that you trust, that has your best interest at heart, that will speak the truth to you in love. So that when you talk to the person, you can go with the right tone. Because you've already worked out some of the anger and frustration in processing the emotion about it. You've got to go with the right content. What do you want to say? What are the words you want to say? You got to have the right timing. Timing's everything, right? And so I had none of those. And so I went, made this phone call, and what happened is that root of bitterness that was in me sprung up. And as it sprung up, it came out in my attitude through my words, and it didn't end well. And when things don't end well in a conversation, it grieves your heart. So I hung up, and I dealt with it for a couple of days, and I was feeling the effect of it. And I had to turn to the Lord. I need help here. You know, this is separating me from you. And so I just woke up one morning and I just started crying out to the Lord. You know that scripture in Psalms 19:14 that says, let the meditation of my heart and the words of my mouth, I think I'm saying it backwards, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O God, my strength and my redeemer. And that scripture came right up out of my spirit. I said, oh God, that's my heart. That's my heart. I didn't want my words to come out with bitterness or anger or hurt. You know, hurting people sometimes hurt other people. That's not my heart. You know, Lord, you're my strength. I need to make this right. And so the Holy Spirit just invaded my heart and began to heal it, began to restore it. And I was able to make the call. I humbled myself and I said to the person, you know what? I apologize. Please forgive me. I'm not going to communicate. I'm going to do better at communicating my expectations in the future. And that person said back to me, well, I'm sorry. And I'm going to do better. And I'm going to be more aware. And so just by sharing the heart, healing came. Restoration of my soul came. My attitude had everything to do. My attitude towards God, my attitude towards the word, my attitude towards the situation. Once I got it right, his grace came in. Amen. Because God resists the proud, but he gives more grace unto the humble. And so when I was in my pride going, I'm not calling this person. Guess what? I was miserable. But the moment that I turned and the moment that I humbled myself and cried out to God for help, he was there. His Holy Spirit was there. And he did for me what I could not do for myself. He gave me grace. He gave me words. He gave me healing in my heart so that I could move forward and get this resolved. We cannot allow these things, strife, division. We've got to take authority over it. And sometimes when you're in the midst of it, you forget to even do that. So faith buddies are so good. Because they can help you. They can pray with you. They can come alongside of you. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. So, only God can heal your heart. But only you can change your attitude. Amen? Amen. What helped me to rise above the fray of disappointment and hurt was getting a different perspective. One of the things that I did is began to stop and say, okay, you know, sometimes you'll say, well, this is, I don't have this, I didn't get that, and it'll just, you know, magnify everything. But you have to stop and you have to be grateful. And you have to say, this is what I do have. This is what that person has done. And you have to begin to be grateful and have a heart of gratitude, and it will turn that thing around. Amen. A heart of gratitude. Yes. Amen. Amen. Joyce Meyer shares a story in one of her books about a Cherokee who was teaching his grandson about a battle that goes on in every person. And he told his grandson the battle is between two wolves. One wolf is slothful, cowardly, vain, arrogant, full of self-pity, sorrow, regret, envy, and anger. And the other wolf is diligent, courageous, humble, benevolent, full of compassion, joy, empathy, and faith. And the grandson sat there and was silent for a moment as he thought about what his grandfather just told him. And then he asked, which wolf wins? And the grandfather said, the one you feed. The one you feed. The attitude you feed is the attitude that's going to prevail. Amen. Your attitude will cause you to climb above the fray and experience freedom or decline beneath it and experience it pressing down on you and opening the door to oppression. I was recently doing some cleaning at home, some spring cleaning. I know we like to do that, don't we? And I noticed that outside, as I was cleaning the outside windows, there's some windows that were up higher that didn't get cleaned last year. And they were pretty dirty. They were had film, you know, how the dust and debris gets on it and the rain and all that stuff. And it was bad. But, you know, over a period of time, you stop even seeing the film. You don't notice it very much. But I'll tell you what, when you go out and you clean that window, oh my gosh, it's like, oh wow, look at this. I can see clearly. I can see the beautiful trees and behold their beauty outside that were obscured from that dirt and the dust and the grime and the weather. Amen? So, praise the Lord. If your windows need cleaning, clean your windows. If your heart and your soul needs cleaning, apply the blood. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Because you'll start looking through that lens in your own soul. And a way that seems right into man, it leads to the absence of God's presence. So you got to make that correction, and you've got to let the Holy Ghost clean it up. If your attitude is unclean, then repent and change it. I like to quote Zig Ziglar here. He says this, your attitude will determine the altitude that you fly to in life. He also said this, your attitude, not your aptitude, will determine the altitude that you fly to in life. In order for pilots to fly above the fray of the weather, they must look at what's called an attitude indicator. And an attitude indicator is one of the six basic flight instruments that it's found in a cockpit. And so at a glance, the pilot can look at it and he can determine the aircraft's position relative to the horizon, the Earth's horizon. And he can decide if the plane is climbing by that indicator or descending or banking. Isn't that right, Charles? And so that's true with our attitudes too. Our attitudes is one thing that you have control over, and it will determine if you're climbing and ascending or if you're descending or if you're banking. Amen? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So what are you thinking about? Your thoughts are connected to your emotions, and your emotions are connected to your behavior. So you have to debate. Sometimes if you have an emotion that's negative, you have to go back and say, what am I thinking about? What am I meditating on? How am I viewing this? What lens am I looking through? If it's positive, you do the same. What am I thinking about that's producing joy and peace? But if you don't deal with that A and B, down here, that C, that behavior, it's going to come out. So what do you have to do? You have to do D. You have to debate. You have to debate the statements that you're saying to yourself. Are they true? Are they false? What about them's true? How can I rephrase that? What I want to feel like? What I need to say? How do I speak the word? I'll tell you, sometimes it just goes back to the basics. Speak the word over your situation. Speak the word over your life. Speak the word over your family. Speak the word over your city. Yes, over this nation. Amen? Speak the word. Yes. And God watches over his word to perform it. It will not return void into him. If you speak it and you speak it in faith, if you declare a thing, that's a rhema word. The word thing is rhema. If you declare a rhema, that's something that God has spoken to your spirit by the Holy Spirit. And if you speak that rhema out, it's full of power. Creative power. Yeah. It will create things for you. It will change and rearrange things. Yeah. But you gotta keep speaking it. Amen? Amen. You gotta keep your attitude right. Yeah. Let me ask you this. What triggers your attitude? Do you know? Have you evaluated that? Sometimes we've just gotta step back and we've gotta, you know, evaluate. What is it that's triggering my attitude, to be positive or negative, to be good or to be bad? You know, for me, it could be fatigue. I don't know about you, but when I get fatigued, my attitude can go, it can crash. How about discouragement, disappointment? How about failure? I mean, you keep trying to do something and you haven't quite gotten there. Diets is a good thing, you know, but you've got to get in a place where you find victory so that you have a positive cycle. Amen. And so many things can cause our attitudes to descend. But what causes our attitudes to rise? For me, it's the word of God. How about you? For me, it's the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. How about worship? Worship. How about people coming along with a word of encouragement? Who are you hanging with? What are they saying to you? What's getting off on you? Attitudes are contagious.
That's right.
speaking the word and taking authority. I recently told you a story about my son and daughter-in-law who were going through a very difficult time. Death in the family, many other things I won't go into, but many other things coming against them. They decided to step aside, go for a walk, go to Lake Chabot. I'm telling you, sometimes when you're in the middle of situations, you got to step away to get another perspective. They stepped away. They started walking up to take the trail. And as they were walking up there, and my son never thinks about this, all of a sudden he thought about beware of snakes. Just kind of came up in him. Look out for snakes. And didn't think a whole lot of it, but kept walking as he walked. All of a sudden, as they got up the trail a ways, he stepped on something that was soft. He looked down, and it was a snake. He said, at first it looked like a rattlesnake, so he was alarmed. And they kind of got out of the line of defense there and got themselves together and kept on going. See, they didn't stop. They didn't say, oh, there might be other snakes. No, they kept going. So they kept going up the trail, up the trail, up the trail. They got to the top and they stopped and they said, okay, we're going to camp here and we're going to pray. And they began to pray and pray in the spirit. And all of a sudden, they just got a release. It was time to go back. So they started walking back. Now, my daughter-in-law had been through so much, and she was really feeling the oppression of the situation. And it was difficult for her to even work. And so they were walking back, and as they walked back, guess what was on the trail? Another snake. And so all of a sudden, the Lord, the Holy Ghost, spoke to my son and said, you got to put your foot on the head of the snake. In other words, you got to take authority because that represents evil. It represents the work of the enemy. And you've got to take authority over it in order for it to go. So it was an illustrated sermon from the Holy Ghost for my kids. Amen? So they did just that. They put their foot on the head of that thing, took authority over it, and I'm telling you, that oppression left. I mean, it was a spirit of oppression. And it left. And she was free. Glory to God. So, you can be pitiful or you can be powerful, Joyce Meyer says. It's your choice, but you can't be both. So be full of power. Amen? Amen. Don't allow a cloud to overtake you. Amen. Break through it with hope and truth. Clouds or fog can obscure your vision. And you've got to press through it because you know what? The sun is shining on the other side. Amen. Pass through that valley of Baca and make it a spring. Make it a spring so that you can help other people. That valley of weeping, we've all experienced that. And sometimes there's a temptation to camp there and put the sheets over your head. Don't do it.
Amen. Come on.
Keep going. Keep going. Keep pressing through. You're going to get to the other side. And on the other side, there's a spring.
Yes. Amen.
And you're going to help other people come through. Amen. In 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 14 to 17, I want to quickly talk about how at this time there was so much going on, and there was the king of Syria who was coming after the men of God. And they felt surrounded by the enemy. The king had sent horses and chariots and a great army there. And they came by night and they surrounded the city. And when the servant, the man of God, arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city. And again, horses and chariots everywhere. And his servant freaks out. And he says, ah, master, what shall we do? And the man of God answered, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than they that are with them. And then Elisha prayed. And he said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord did that. He opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire, and they surrounded Elisha. Sometimes when you're in the midst of the fray, in the midst of the storm, you got to pray and say, Lord, show me what I'm not seeing. Amen?
Amen.
He thought that they were surrounded. Have you ever felt surrounded? But we're not surrounded by just the enemy. We're surrounded by him. Amen? Hallelujah. It may look like you're surrounded, but you're surrounded by him. A little bit of leaven leavens the whole lump. And that's what's important. Don't, you can't afford just a little bad attitude. There's no such thing. In making bread, leaven is used as yeast. And leaven is a living microorganism. It's a single live fungus cell that remains dormant until it comes in contact with warm water. The warm water activates the yeast, and as it begins to feed on the sugars in the flour, it begins to grow. The yeast works its way through the dough, and it affects the whole lump. You cannot get it out. And so, Jesus said, he warned us of the leaven of the Pharisees, didn't he? He said it'll work its way into your thinking and affect your believing and your speaking and, yes, your attitude. So we've got to be aware of even just a little bad attitude. We used to tell this story in youth, sometimes in children's church too, I think. But the story of some kids who didn't want it, they wanted to go to a certain movie that wasn't really a good movie for them to go to. And the parent said, no, you can't go. And so they were having a fit about it. And so the parent was very wise, and decided they'd make some brownies, and made some brownies. And the brownies looked so good, and they smelled so wonderful. But there was only one thing about the brownies. The brownies had just a little bit of poo in them. And so the kids came in. Oh, this smells so good. This looks wonderful. Can we have some brownies? Oh, sure, you can have some brownies. Only one thing, kids. It's just got a little bit of poo in them. They were telling the parent, it's just got a little bit of stuff that's not good in this movie. So you wouldn't eat the brownies with the poo, would you? So a little bit of bad attitude affects the whole. So remember, leaven is a living thing. Make sure it's not living in you. Amen?
Amen?
So the process of your thinking and the process, it will produce an end result. It'll produce faith or fear, peace or anxiety, love or hate. So we've just got to renew our mind to the Word of God and what God says. Amen?
Amen.
At times of turbulence, sometimes you can get knocked off your faith feet. You can lose your breath. And it takes a minute to stand back up and to catch your breath. But don't lay on the floor and not get up. You got to get yourself back up. You got to allow yourself to catch your breath and begin to breathe the breath of life again.
That's good.
And then you arise above it. Hallelujah. You know, situations may not change sometimes. But there's a difference between being above and being beneath. And it so much of it has to do with our attitudes and our choices, choosing life, to stand above the fray or let the fray be on top of us. Amen? How did Jesus deal with the fray? I'll tell you how he dealt with it. He went to a place of prayer. He went to the garden. Where's your place of prayer? Where's your garden? He pulled himself aside. And he got before the Father, and he prayed until. Amen. He prayed until. Glory to God. Father, we just thank you so much that we have the opportunity to make choices when we're under pressure, when there's times, Lord, that it's difficult. We have a choice to make. We have a choice to rise above the storms of life and above the fray, and to get a fresh perspective, a fresh attitude, your attitude, the mind of Christ. We thank you, Father, that no matter what the situations are that anyone in here may be facing tonight, they're not bigger than you. Your hand is not shortened, that you cannot save, that you cannot reach out of that miry muck and pull people out. Change situations. Rearrange things. And cause us to walk in victory and to ride on the high places. Amen. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen.